In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. As I was thinking this morning, what is the thing that would absolutely render men, especially men, ineffective? And also women. And you know what I think? To take away the dream, to take away the dream that God has placed within the heart. You know, when a man or a woman doesn't dream anymore and has no experience of doing something greater, it's ready to die. Just ready to die. Let's look at Psalm 137, and we'll see a people in Babylon, and the dream has been completely destroyed. Israel, by her own sin, is hauled off to Babylon. Why? Because she was idolatrous. She was a prostitute. She committed prostitution against Yahweh. She worshipped the Baals and the Asherahs, and she did temple prostitution. Listen to what it says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There, on the poplars, we hung up our harps. There our captors asked us of songs. Our tormentors demanded us songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Jerusalem. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They were being tormented by the Babylonians. Sing us one of the songs you sang in the temple. Come on, sing us one of those songs. But it says, they hung up their harps, for their captors desired songs. This is a race that has gone completely, completely into the depths of despair. There are no dreams left. There are no visions. The only thing they have is sadness, despondency, brokenness. I'm going to tell you that even in the death camps, the people who lived were the ones who had dreams. The ones who could see beyond the death camp. The ones that could see beyond the smell of burning flesh. Oh yes, they were the people who survived because they had a dream. And I will tell you that the enemy of our soul will steal the dream, will steal the vision, will steal that which God has placed within his people. He will steal it. He will steal it because he knows that if the dream dies, then you are just as good as dead. That's the way it is. God has made his people to dream. Jesus has made his people to dream. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, his dream was the salvation of the world. His dream was to save humankind. His dream was to save the world. The world that had fallen into disrepair because of sin. And he knew how he would do it. He would do it by means of the cross. Oh, that was the dream. And it was a bittersweet dream. And everything, even his disciples, tried to get in the way. Remember Peter. Remember Peter. Peter says, oh, no, Lord, you will not go to Jerusalem and die. Oh, no, Lord, the elders will not kill you. Oh, Lord, you will not be turned over to the Gentiles. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. And then let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is an interesting thing. Jesus called Peter Satan, but when Judas comes, he calls him friend. Judas will fulfill the dream. The dream will come about through his death, burial, and resurrection. He will save the world through suffering and through obedience. Tell me about the dream that you have. Is it still alive? Or has the dream been crushed? Has the dream been crushed, the dream that you've always had? I don't care what the dream is, but it's your dream. It's your dream, and at one time you could taste it just like rich Swiss chocolate in your mouth. You knew it, you knew it, you knew it. But let me tell you, life will try to kill the dream. the devil himself will try to kill the dream. He will try to kill the dream and have you just get into business. Have you just get into, you know, these are the things I've got to do. Get into your chores. Now, it's all right to do your chores. Life is about chores, but it's not only about chores. When you lose your dream, you lose your hope. When you lose your hope, you're dead. Israel was dead on the shores of Babylon. Yeah, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept. We hung up our harps. They lost their song. They lost their song. Do you have a song? Do you have a song? Have you lost your song? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost that which was in you that kept you going for so many years? And I'm going to tell you, many people will not dream anymore. You know why? Because they don't want to be disappointed. What happens if the dream blows up in my face? We know this, the old saying, better to have loved and lost and not to have loved at all. I'm going to tell you, better to have dreamed and have it blow up in your face than not to have dreamed at all. Oh, I've had dreams that have blown up in my face. Oh, gosh, one right after the other. But you know what? Then you recoup and you start to dream again. That's part of human existence. You cannot live without a dream. You can exist without a dream, but you cannot live without a dream. The Israelites had a dream. They were going to conquer Jericho. They were going to conquer it, and they were going to conquer it God's way. That was their dream, and they did it. Led by Joshua, they did it. That was their dream. Moses had a dream to get those complaining Jews into the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was his dream. He did not see it fulfilled. He saw the Holy Land from Mount Nebo. But yet again, we see Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, so he had a good day. Moses had a dream. David had a dream. Oh, his dream was to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and to make worship one, that only in Jerusalem would they worship God. And his dream was to build the temple, but you know what? He never did. But you know what? He lived his dream through Solomon, because before David died, he had got all the implements and all the gold and all the silver and had ready to buy everything for the temple of the Lord. Yes, David got it all ready. He didn't see the dream, but Solomon did. Elijah had a dream. Or shall I say, Elisha had a dream. He had a dream that he would be the one who would follow Elijah. And if you read 2 Kings, you're going to see that Elisha doesn't leave Elijah's shadow. I'm not going to leave until I get what I came for. I want a double portion of your spirit. Dream. Where's your dream? Has it been killed? It's time to resurrect your dream. It's because, you know, if you don't dream, you're not alive. But, you know, I want to dream the dreams God dreams. I want to dream the dreams Jesus is dreaming for me. I want to dream the dreams that are in heaven. I want to bring those dreams down. I just don't want to dream dreams. I want to dream the dreams of the Lord. And the Lord's dreams are always toward people. They're always toward people. Thomas Edison had many dreams. And, oh, Lord, look what he gave us. So much. More than electricity. More than harnessing electricity. So much. More than the electric bulb. So much. Dr. Salk had a dream to destroy polio, to build up antibodies against the sickness called polio. And you know what? He fulfilled that dream. Only God knows how long it was in the laboratory before it came to be the way it is today. Only God knows. But you know what? You just don't get a dream. You've got to give your whole self to the dream. It just doesn't happen. And you know, we in America just think that, you know, the dream just will float down on a parachute and it'll just land in my green grass and I just have to unwrap it. I don't think so. Dreams need to be fought for. You've got to fight for dreams, especially if they encompass people, and they would bless people, because the devil hates people, because he hates Jesus, and because he can't get at Jesus, he gets at people. Oh, yeah. Have you lost your dream? Have you lost your song? That's the work of Satan. It's time. It's time to sing again. It's time to sing again. It's time to believe again. It's time to recoup from the dreams that have blown up in your face. It's time! Because your dreams will affect other people. You cannot be selfish. You cannot be selfish any longer. If God has planted a dream in your heart, you want that dream to be fulfilled, even if it means your death. Jesus had a dream. And he dreamt of you. Salvation, new creation, Eden restored, the kingdom of God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have not seen that dream fulfilled because the earth does not look like heaven at this point. You want to know why? Because the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. And there is so little of the Holy Spirit. Today's talk really is to inspire you to dream again, to pray about, Lord, what is your dream for me? Plant your dream within my heart. I want to fulfill your dream. I want to live it out. I want my children to dream. I want my children to be visionary. I'm not talking about any aimless dream. I'm not talking about winning the megabucks. I'm talking about dreams that will affect the world one at a time. That's what I'm talking about. Dreams that will affect society one at a time. Dreams that will change lives one at a time. You see, on the Mount of Olivet, Jesus said to his disciples his last words, go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations. Go into the whole world. How could they go into the whole world? These were fishermen. These were tax collectors. These were zealots. These were men who lived in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and know that I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. You know, here you're talking, what a dream that is, that these 11 or 12 men now would go into the whole world to preach the gospel. That was a dream. And you know, that's exactly what happened. When Jesus dreams dreams in you, they happen, but you've got to pay for them. And you know what? They paid for their dreams. Every apostle died a martyr's death, all but John. They paid for the dream. It didn't come on a parachute, and it didn't land on the green grass. They paid for the dream. And I think that's the problem. We want the dream, but we don't want to put up. I think that's the problem. We want the dream, but we don't want to die. And yet, Jesus has promised us it is in dying that we receive eternal life. Unless a seed go into the ground and die, it shall not bear fruit. Jesus has promised us the resurrection only comes about through the crucifixion. That's the promise. And you know, I think dreams will not be carried through because we don't want to die. We don't. It's against human nature. To die? Who wants to die? But yet, no man or woman who has seen the dream fulfilled is not upon an altar. Even the dream of human stuff, you know, you have to spend time, energy, money, hours. There's got to be a death in order for the dream to come about. There's got to be a death. And we don't want anything to do with death. We want it on a silver platter. So let me tell you one thing, beloved. Nothing comes on a silver platter but the head of John the Baptist. That came on a silver platter. that came on a silver platter. Nothing comes on a silver platter but the head of John the Baptist. He had a dream, too. And his dream was all about Jesus. And you know what? His dream was fulfilled. And after his dream was fulfilled, he was ready to die. Simeon had a dream that he would not die until he held the promised Messiah. And when he did, he said, "Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, of the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Dreams? Do you dream anymore? Do you dream here dreams? Or whose dreams are you dreaming? I want to dream the dreams of God. I want to dream the dreams that Jesus has for me. I want to fulfill my destiny before I kick off into glory. I want to dream, even if the dream blows up in my face. And that's not pleasant. That is not pleasant. So many people have grown bitter because the dream they dreamt blew up in their face. I'm thankful that Thomas Edison didn't stop each time the dream that he had about the electric light would blow up in his face. I'm thankful that he continued. He stuck to it. You know, there's a good thing in being Italian, because you can be so stubborn that you're going to make sure you're going to see this through. Dreams? And yet Joel prophesied, "In the last days, your sons and your daughters would dream dreams. See visions." I believe in visions and I believe in dreams. Just the other day, I was praying for somebody who is going to be deported. She's going to be deported. She's been in America for so many years, and they were going to deport her. So as I started to pray for her, I saw the Statue of Liberty, and I said, "She's not going to be deported. The Lord is making a way for her." And I declared it. The Lord is making a way for her. So I was with her the other day. I said, tell me about what's happening with you. She says, "I think I'm staying." I said, "I told Dorothy I saw the Statue of Liberty, which means you're staying. You bank on it, honey." Then she said, "You want to know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "Dr. Leo was having trouble. Somebody was throwing rocks in his windows or something. And you prayed and said, 'Dr. Leo, the people live across the street from you.'" I don't even remember this. Come to find out, they were the very people doing that. And he confronted them. Dreams and visions. It all comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. But are you going to pay for your dreams? They're not cheap. They're not cheap. And if your dream involves people, there'll be every demonic force that wants to destroy your dream, because Satan hates everything God loves. And God so loved the world, people, that he gave his only son. The bigger the dream, and the more people that the dream encompasses, the more struggle and the more fight there will be, believe me. Especially if it means the salvation of souls. Will you pray to dream again? Can I ask you that? To pray to dream again? Would you pray that God would put his dream in your heart? Would you? Would you just whisper that prayer to the Lord? Say, "Lord, I want to dream again. I'm sick of just living in the business world. I want to dream again." I think that's why I love the man of La Mancha. Crazy as a loon. crazy as a loon, but a man who saw beyond a prostitute and saw a sweet, delicate woman. That's Jesus. You might be a prostitute. You might have had 7 abortions, you know? Jesus sees you as Dulcinea. That's right. He doesn't see you as a prostitute. Once you confess your sins, once you go to confession, Jesus doesn't see you as a prostitute or as a woman who has killed her children. He sees you as Dulcinea, my sweet one, my lovely one. We do not see things the way God sees things. That's why we need to dream his dreams. That's why we need to pay for the dreams that we dream for. That's why we need to pray. Do you pray? Do you pray? You need to pray. You need to pour out your heart to the Lord. Maybe you need to tell him that your dreams have all been shattered, that you've lived in the land of broken dreams and empty promises. Tell him. Tell him. Maybe you need to get angry with him. Maybe you need to stamp your feet. Maybe you need to bang the table. I don't know what you need to do, but get it out. Get it out. And then tell him, I want to dream again. I want to dream again. I want to dream your dreams. I want to see your vision. I want to be what you want me to be. I do not want to live just in a world of business. I want to live in a world of life. That's why the fairy tales hold so much for us. They're much more than fairy tales. That's why a Snow White is completely dead. The only thing that's going to wake her up is the kiss of the prince. That's the church. We need the kiss of the prince. We need that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, would come and kiss us on the lips and wake us up and tell us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Each of us, I have loved you with an everlasting love and you are mine. That's why we need the kiss of the prince, that he would come and hold us and say, I have plans for you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare. Plans to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you. When you seek me with all of your heart, you find me with you, says the Lord. Oh, my Lord, we need the Prince of Peace to come and kiss us on the lips and wake us up from the slumber of death, the slumber of broken dreams, the slumber of shattered promises. We need you, Jesus, to do that with your presence. We need you. We need you to do that, Lord. We need you especially for those who have lost their song and lost their dream and lost their hope. That by the rivers of Babylon they're weeping, they've hung up their harps, Lord. They say, no more, no more, no more. The only song they sing is Diezira, Diezira. That's the dead song. The old sequence of death. Time to sing, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's time that God would give you the dream that will give you energy, for the dream will revitalize you. It's time to take the harp off the poplar and start playing it. It's time. It's time. It's time. Despite the circumstances, it's time. It's time. It's time. You know why? Because if your dream is of God, it will affect people. And if it will affect people, that means salvation. And that means that you've got to risk. You've got to risk. You've got to risk. You cannot play it safely any longer. To play it safe is death for you. Father, I pray for the mercy of God to be given to your people, that we would dream again, but not dream aimlessly, but dream the dreams of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God would be given to us in a mighty way, that we would be able to sing the songs of joy again,
that you are the risen Lord and that you have conquered sin, Satan, and the grave. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, God, that you would give visions and dreams to your people. And if they don't want them, I want them, Lord. I want dreams. I want visions. I want to see what you see. I want to see what you see, and I want the power to give myself completely so that dream becomes a reality. And Father, 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 if I have to end up on Mount Nebo and just watch the dream, it's better to dream than not to dream at all. It's better to dream and not receive the fulfillment than not to dream at all. Oh, God, when a man loses his dream, that man is dead. Come and kiss us on the lips, Lord Jesus Christ, and wake us up from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. And one more time, glory. On Thursday evening, I will be at St. Paul's in Hingham, and we are going to be praying, and we are going to celebrate Mass. St. Paul's in Hingham, and that's Thursday evening, 7:30. You're welcome to come. You are welcome to come. And we will not be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday. No espousal on Wednesday. The next time we're at the espousal is August 1st. All right? August 1st, espousal. I do need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. And the mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One day, Francis had a dream, and he saw that his men, these Franciscan men in brown robes or gray robes, whatever robes they wore, he saw them, that they would be throughout the end of the world, and that they would be there until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came in glory. He had a dream, and he paid for the dream. And you know what? Before he died, that dream grew up in his face. But now that's a dream to live in sound. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Be a man and dream. Be a man and dream. And pay for it. Pay for it. Even if it means your life. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.